Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Steelcase Limited Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak Jain from Orient Capital, their investor relations. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Ronak Jain.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call of Steelcase Limited. Today on this call, we have Mr. Chetan Tamboli, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Rishul Tamboli, Whole-time Director, Mr. Subhash Sharma, Executive Director and Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Umesh Bhat, Company Secretary. Before we begin this call, I would like to give a short disclaimer. This call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today. Actual results may differ materially. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. A detailed safe harbor statement is given on page number two of the investor presentation of the company, which has been uploaded on the stock exchange and the company's website as well. With this, I now hand over the call to Mr. Chetan Tamboli, sir, for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Orient Capital. Good afternoon and welcome to everyone for joining this Steelcase Limited investors' call. As we step into FY25, the global geopolitical landscape remains very challenging, marked by ongoing conflicts and significant elections worldwide. These events are poised to influence the direction of the global economy. While major central banks have hinted at potential rate cuts throughout the year, the persistent lack of progress on inflation remains a concern. As we previously communicated upon entering FY24, we anticipated flat growth due to unfavorable geopolitical conditions. However, we maintained cautious optimism regarding a turnaround in the global situation, particularly from Q3 FY25 onwards. Let's now look into our financial performance for Q4 FY24 and the annual results of FY24. The revenue for Q4 improved to 98.4 crores from 90.3 crores for the previous quarter, an improvement of 9%. However, revenue for Q4 FY24 declined 18.2% compared to the corresponding quarter of the previous year, from 120.3 crores to 98.4 crores due to adverse geopolitical and business situation. We've been able to maintain an EBITDA margin of 29.3% during Q4 FY24 against 30.3% during the previous quarter and 25.7% in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. EBITDA in absolute values stood at 28.8 crores during Q4 FY24 against 27.3 crores during the previous quarter and 31.0 crores in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. PAT margins for Q4 FY24 maintained at 19% against the same margin during the previous quarter and improved against 16.2% of the corresponding quarter of the previous year. PAT in absolute value stood at 18.7 crores during Q4 FY24 against 17.4 crores during the previous quarter and 19.5 crores in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. As anticipated, the revenue for FY24 is rupees 409.8 crores against 476.8 crores in the previous year, showing a decrease of 14.1%. The decrease in revenue was primarily attributed to reduced economic activity in Western and North American countries, leading to an inventory buildup by OEMs. We anticipate resurgence in demand starting from the second half of FY25. EBITDA margins of 28.6% during FY24 substantially improved from 23.9% during the previous year. EBITDA for the year stood at 117.8 crores against rupees 114 crores in the previous year. PAT margins of 18.3% during FY24 shown a significant increase from that of 14.8% during the previous year. PAT stood at 75 crores against 70.5 crores in the previous year. To sum up, we say that despite decline in revenue by 14.1%, we've been able to protect our margin profile, showing an increase of 6.4% in PAT terms. Furthermore, our strategic initiatives to cultivate new customer relationships, diversify into emerging sectors, and explore untapped markets have played a pivotal role in stabilizing our turnover. This has resulted in a less volatile revenue stream compared to earlier years. The strong growth in our EBITDA and PAT in FY 2024 can be attributed to reduced costs following the commission of our power plants and solar plants. These plants, meeting 80% of our captive requirements, have led to significant savings in power and fuel expenses. Our renewable energy plants, both solar and hybrid, have operated efficiently and generated annual savings, net savings in excess of rupees 12 crores in FY 2024. Further, we are planning to add one additional megawatt of captive solar power plant to further reduce costs. Over the past 3 years, we have maintained the debt-free status, indicating our prudent financial management and ability to operate without relying on long-term borrowings. In terms of revenue contribution, exports and domestic sales stood at 57.7% and 42.3% respectively in FY 2024. The domestic construction equipment industry has demonstrated robust growth, posting a 25% increase in FY 2024. We are very excited to announce the commencement of serial product supplies to the North American railroad industry from Q3 FY 2025 onwards. This is expected to contribute significantly to our revenue. Looking ahead, we are well positioned to diversify our portfolio into newer sectors such as railroad, ground engineering tools, and defense opportunities, anticipating substantial revenue growth in the coming 2 to 3 years. The new railroad segment is expected to gain momentum from Q3 FY25 onwards, while discussions with customers in the ground engineering tools segments are promising. Moreover, the defense segment holds significant potential for the future. Furthermore, the customers increasingly adopting the China Plus One strategy, there is a growing trend towards sourcing from India and other regions, which we expect will enhance our market share. We remain committed to exploring further opportunities and are confident in our ability to deliver value to our stakeholders. In the current financial year, we foresee a subdued Q1 and Q2, and we see an uptrend from Q3 onwards. Thank you, and we now open the floor for question and answers. Thank you again.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sahil Sanghvi from Monarch Network Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Mr. Sahil?
Yes, am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, Chetan sir, and many congratulations for, getting a bad growth even in such difficult times on a full year basis. To start with, sir, my first question is on the demand side. While you have given a lot of details on how you see the demand moving around, moving for the year, I just want to understand from the schedules that you're getting for production from your clients, are you getting a feel that the restocking is coming to an end? I mean, can we get some understanding on that front?
Sahil bhai, can you ask all your questions and I'll respond together. So you can ask your second question.
My second question is, sir, what was the contribution from American railroads in FY24, both absolute in rupees million or rupees crores, and also, in rupees million, rupees crores, and how do you see this, going ahead, as in FY 25, 26, How do you see this moving upwards? And my third question is regarding the CapEx. So I understand that 1 MW power plant, I think you will be spending some 5-6 crores on that. Any other CapEx plan? So the CapEx number also, if at all you can give us for FY25. That's all.
Yeah. Thank you, Sahil bhai. On the demand side, we have been hearing that the destocking should be over by the end of the first quarter. Means we're talking about June 24. But maybe, this might be extended by one more quarter. So on the safer side, let's assume the destocking would be completely over by September 24. And then on the demand side, we do see some slowdown, not a significant slowdown, but that too we keep hearing that this is also again temporary measures. Once once there is some relief on the Russia-Ukraine war and also the Israel and Hamas war, so hopefully the expectation is all this too will end hopefully by June, July. So things should pick up shortly from on a conservative basis from Q3 onwards, but we might see a turnaround earlier also. On the railroad side, for FY24 we did about 2% of our total sales, which would result into about 8 crores of sale, and going forward. This number by 26-27 should be around 14-15%. Regarding CAPEX, this additional 1 megawatt is as our output is likely to grow. So we would add this 1 megawatt on our existing facilities, and which would of course result into some savings of 1.5 to 1.75 crores, and the other capex for debottlenecking and adding machining capacities of capex for the year will be about 22 crores.
One follow question, please. Sorry.
Sahil bhai, I answered your question. Right?
When do you expect this power plant to be commissioned?
We will start somewhere around July, August, and hopefully by December 31, 24, this should be commissioned.
Lastly, have we seen some reduction in the raw material prices in Q4, say, and could this translate into some price correction for our end product in this year? I mean, should we be expecting some kind of pricing correction?
See, the input price have been reducing from Q2, Q3, Q4 in FY24. So there are marginal sales corrections, sales price corrections have been happening. And so for the first quarter, we will have some sales price correction. But again, in the first quarter, the input price has started going up again. So there would be a sales price increase from say Q2 onwards, but overall it will be a very marginal decrease.
Sales volume number, the volume number in tons for Q4.
For Q4, you said. Can you repeat your question, please?
What for Q4, sir? Sir, the sales volume number for Q4, sir? Q4 FY24?
Yeah, Q4 is about 3100 tons.
Got it, sir. Thank you. Thank you, sir, for answering all my questions, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Harshil Solanki from Equitree Capital Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi team, good afternoon. I had a few questions. I'll ask them together. So we had to supply 5 tanks for Arjun Tank by March 24. So is the supply over and have we got any repeat orders for that? The second question is the emission norms are expected to change in January 25. So are we seeing any free buying on account of that and which will help us increase our domestic sales at least for each month? And in the PPT, we are saying that the export, we are trying to reach 18 countries plus and we are currently at 15. So which countries are you looking to enter and what could be the potential on that side? Yeah, these are my questions.
Yeah, the different supplies what we had to do were shipped in the last quarter of FY24. We now have to wait for the tenders to, you know, new tenders to open, and then we again bid on it. But as far as we are concerned, we have done our job in supplying the balance supplies, which happened, as I said, in Q4 FY24. Regarding these emission norms, now we supply to all the manufacturers for off-highway trucks or heavy equipment. These emission norms doesn't apply to them. These emission norms are mainly for automobiles, LCVs, and things like that. So any changes there will not affect our business scenario. And regarding the additional focus on some fewer countries, we have been trying on several countries. It will be difficult to name which ones we succeed and which ones we don't succeed. But from we expect to supply to 18 countries in the next 2-3 years. And present countries are what, about 12, 13 or so.
Okay, got it, sir. That emission norm that I was referring to was for the off-highway vehicles only. But anyway, no issue.
Okay. Then we are not aware of this, nor have our customers have told us this. So we have no idea. Plus, moreover, these are more connected to engines, and we don't supply any engine components. We supply all the undercarriage components. So any changes in emission norms will not affect our business, whether upwards or downwards.
No, sir. What I was thinking was that if prices increase of the final vehicles, the customers may prepone their buying decision, and therefore we may see an increase of supply of our components to that vehicles which the OEMs will increase because the demands may get preponed. So that was where I was coming from.
Okay. I think we don't see, we are not seeing any upward change for that matter from our existing customers.
Understood. And one last question on the working capital cycle. Our cycle has increased to 90 days from 64 days. So can you please explain why that increase has happened?
See, we make a large variety of products, and generally the throughput times are different for different products. Every product has a different throughput time. So if our product mix has changed in the last quarter, that could be the reason for the increase in the cycle to 90 days. But I'm just verifying whether our, what you're saying is, are we seeing?
It's there in the PPT. I'm referring to the PPT.
So our debtors have gone up, but otherwise rest is all okay.
This should also decrease.
Sorry?
payables have decreased. Is it due to the MSME norms or some other reason?
No, creditors in inventories have decreased. Creditors are increased.
Okay, so. But this is a temporary thing and it will revise, or how do you think?
I think on a very macro level, we are on track. Only thing is these aberrations keep happening, you know, during the year, upwards or downwards. But our working capital cycle are intact, and we should do anywhere from 75 to 80 days on a sustainable basis.
Okay. Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Anirudh Shetty from Solidarity Advisory Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hey, hello. Thank you very much for this opportunity. Just a few questions from my side. So, you know, we demonstrated a lot of resilience in our EBITDA in a particular tough year. There's obviously some benefits from the power cost savings, but even if you adjust for that, it's still quite strong. So is it fair to assume that, you know, that our de-risking strategy that we have implemented over the years has, you know, kind of borne fruit for us, and going forward, you know, we should be able to navigate more tough environments with less cyclicality in our earnings? Is that a fair assumption to make?
Okay, this is your first question. Can you ask another question? I'll respond together.
Okay. I had three questions then, sir. My second question was more on, you know, this. How does maybe I'll club question two and three is, but, you know, we've had a great year in terms of EBITDA margin and return on equity. So does one kind of assume that this could sustain going forward, or there are some pressures that would come, like as we've mentioned in the past, that, you know, the margin band could go back to where we, you know, used to guide? And on return on equity, you know, does this number sustain, or if we ever choose to do a greenfield project in the future, the ROEs could come down because the asset turns could be lower?
See, over the last few years, we have aggressively worked on de-risking the whole company. We have added many end-user industries. With the result, the cyclicality is surely reduced substantially, and this journey will continue over the next 3-4 years also. So going forward, this will further reduce. The volatility will surely reduce. And on the EBITDA margins, we've always said that we work on 22-23% EBITDA margin, and then try on our cost savings and improvement in operating efficiencies, and get those extra few percentage points. But if one would ask on a sustainable basis, I think hopefully 25-26 should be a good number which can be sustained over a longer term.
Got it. And sir, on the return on equity, just my question is more on, say, the fixed asset turns in our business, which is, you know, good margins and our asset turns leading to good return on equity. So if we say we do you think that we could get this sort of return on equity, sort of payback period on the future investment fee you think?
The return on equity are quite sustainable, but as long as the, you know, the net profits increase, the, you know, bottom, the denominator increases. So with the increase of the profits, that will be, you know, effect on the ratio. But however, the range of between 30 to 35 is, you know, sustainable. Seems to be sustainable.
30 to 35 is return on capital employed or return on equity?
return on equity.
Great. Thank you so much for taking this.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Sheth from Quest Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, Chetan bhai. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations you and your team for good set of numbers.
Yeah, thank you, Bharat bhai.
Sir, in this domestic side, this year our volume, QOQ volume as well as value has gone. So how much of overall defense has contributed? And since you said that in 25 defense may not contribute, so how do we see domestic business? Export, you have said largely it will be a growth will in second half.
See, the supplies in the domestic, I mean, the defense industry is very insignificant if you really ask for in FY24.
Okay.
Overall situation is little complex with all the geopolitical issues and as I said earlier, we see little slowdown also. Now this could be combination of factors. So first Q1, Q2 will be softer and subdued, and then we see an uptrend from Q3 onwards. So when we see an uptrend, the uptrend will come from domestic market as well as exports. It will happen in tandem.
Okay. So, and second by now you said that railway, which is around say 8 crore, we want to be a 14-15% in FY27. Okay, these are from 8 crore. Do we see a good amount of growth? Because railway we started supplying from the second half onward, I mean, quantity ramp up is happening. So how do we see ramp up is happening on US railroad?
Bharat bhai, there has been a slight delay in the uptrend in the North American railroad segment, happening. But we are quite confident here. We should reach 14-15% of our sales in FY27. So we are at 2% now. The current year we should do 5, 25-26, surely we should do 9-9.5%, followed by the in 26-27 are reaching 14-15%. So our smart goal is we have to get to 19.
Okay.
19 or 20%. So we are on that path with some delays happening because of external factors with 1 or 2 quarters here or there. But on a macro level, we are on track and we will achieve this.
Okay, great. And are we working on something, developing a new parts or doing something?
Bharat bhai, this is an ongoing exercise. It's nothing that this developing new parts happen, with a lag of 1 or 2 years. This it goes on every year. So as we want to diversify the end user industries, we are also in constant effort to broad base the products also here. So more and more we do, this will de-risk the company more and more,
Okay. So I mean putting a different perspective, see whatever we introduce a new product develop in last 3-4 years, how much does it contributing currently and how do we see, because initially it will be a low number, then it start ramping up.
Yeah, but Bharat bhai, honestly, I don't have the breakup now that what were the numbers from the base products and what's the number from the new products. We don't have that as of now. But, generally once we develop, the ramp up happens in 2-3 years time, gradually. But when the overall macro scenario is subdued or slow, we don't see the benefit of those developments. But we surely see Q3 onwards, we should be on an uptrend.
Okay. And on this broadband perspective, so are we looking, supplying, catering to Australia or say South America, or are we looking for those kind of a market?
As I said earlier, we supply to about 12, 13 countries, and we in next 2-3 years we want to get to at least 18 countries.
Okay.
And Australia and Brazil is part of our radar. So, but obviously we do efforts in 7-8 countries and maybe succeed in 2-3 countries. So that is what happened, but these countries are part of our radar and we are working on it.
Okay, and any early, I mean, success are we seeing? I mean, negotiation or it is at what level, I mean, in that the journey?
I can only say now that our efforts are on and our direction is very clear. The strategy what we have decided is also on track. Now it's a matter of time, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 quarters here or there. But as far as the end user industries are concerned, the increasing number of countries are concerned, increasing number of products are concerned, we are very, very conscious and our direction is clear. That's I can, you know, you can be rest assured that our macro direction is sustainable and on track.
And is it fair understanding, since we are seeing the, in existing our customer base is some trouble and we have sufficient capacity. So at the moment, this greenfield plant that we were evaluating, is we are not pursuing it?
We will pursue it. But we have put this on hold. It's on a pause now. Once we have some clear direction on, you know, utilization of existing capacities, then we can trigger the new capacities. So a lot of work has been done, as Paranda, you know. But only thing is we'll trigger this at appropriate time.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank
and
you.
All the best, Chintan bhai.
Thank you. Thank you, Paranda.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The next question is from the line of Ashwini Agarwal from Demeter Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Chetan bhai, congratulations. Very good results given a very challenging environment, especially on the margin performance.
Thank you. Thank you.
So a couple of questions. You know, I was thinking about, you know, you earlier mentioned in response to a question that our margins, hopefully in the next 3-4 years, we'll get to 25-26%. And I was just doing a quick calculation. You know, your margins have consistently increased on a per ton basis. Like 4-5 years ago, they used to be in the handle of about 70,000 rupees per ton. Now it's about 90,000 rupees a ton, 88,000-90,000 rupees a ton. With the increase in the U.S. railway business, for example, and depends, of course, we don't know whether it will come or not come, but ground engaging tools, you know, something that we've been trying to break into. How do you think this number will move? So, you know, because material prices are passed through, so looking at revenue and percentage of revenue is a harder estimate to make. I was wondering if you can just look at EBITDA per ton and does that make any sense?
So, we really don't keep measuring, you know, EBITDA per ton or something. But we, in our pricing strategy, we aim anywhere from 20% to 20%, and then end up getting. Sometimes we end up with 3-4%. Some quarters we may get a little more also. But it'd be safe to assume that 25-26 might be possible. On a sustainable basis.
Okay. And so, again, adding on to Bharat Bhai's question on the greenfield capacity, I know, you know, there are plans in place and everything is ready. How much would you need to spend on the greenfield, and from day zero, how long does it take to get the capacity operational in your opinion?
See, for to increase say to put up another 10,000 ton, it will cost us about 125 crores. And the throughput time to from the date of go decision, one commissions in about 24 months time. So generally we are seeing in the industry, people are putting capacities in anticipation of the pickup in demand, you know, after 2 years or so. We are little conservative thinkers, and unless we get a very, very clear signal, we would not like to trigger this. So, but as I said, there are a lot of people who do things in anticipation.
No, I think what you're doing is fair, because every company has its own priority. So I wouldn't comment on that. I think that's fine. But at the existing site where you have roughly 30,000 capacity, is there any scope to do more than that? Should the demand suddenly come around and you find yourself short of capacity?
In our line of business, you know, like nothing happens overnight. You know, there will be always a learning curve, and we still have enough capacity to cater to even any sudden surge in demand. You know, we are ready for it. Now, the smart way to do would be to see that any surge in demand, whether it's sustainable or a little longer time. We don't want to be in a situation we spend 125 crores and then wait for another few years till we, you know, get a penny out of it. So our approach, as I said, is slightly conservative, but in the larger interest of all stakeholders, it's good. It's better to do the way we do rather than, you know, work on anticipation and do things on speculation.
No, that's fair. No, I wish you the best. Thank you so much for being on the call and answering all our questions. Thank you
very much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Meet Mehta from Bank of India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for very resilient performance in difficult times. Most of my questions have been answered. Just one question. Typically, historically, I would like to understand your experience with commodity prices rising. How does it affect the demand of our products? Recently, we have seen that commodity prices have been inching up. So how does it impact our business?
There is definitely a correlation between commodity prices and demand of our products. More the increase in commodity prices, there will be more mining going on, more equipments are needed, and more our products are needed more. So, increase in commodity prices is a signal that with a lag of 1, 2, or 3 quarters, we'll see the revival of demand. And this is one reason we have been saying that there will be an uptrend, likely uptrend from Q3 onwards. So there is a definite correlation between commodity prices and the demand.
Very clear, sir. Are we seeing that on the ground, or are we getting that indication from our clients?
Yes, we have been getting indications also, but as I said earlier, the destocking and the inventory clear up and all that is happening, it should have ended by June, but maybe let's assume it end by September. So once that is over, then there will be a sudden, you know, increase in demand also, which we see from Q3 onwards.
Okay. And typically, let's say if demand comes, how long does it take to, you know, ramp up our production and increase utilization?
Actually, we are ready. We did about 14,000 tons of sales, but we are equipped with, in terms of manpower and all the resources required, we are ready for 18,000 tons. So once demand picks up, by the time we reach 18, and if the requirement is more, we'll work on it and make sure that we cater to the demand. But so there is a definite capacity available to cater to that increased demand.
Very clear. That's all from me. Thank you and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sahil Doshi from Thinkwise Wealth Managers LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon and thanks for the opportunity. Just two questions. One is on the US Railroad. I think we had certain approvals which were pending. So can you possibly illustrate what the status and how would the ramp-up plan be for the year? And the second question relates to this recently announced, you know, certain duties in the U.S. against China on the steel products. So do you emphasize that this could be a significant opportunity in the long term for Indian exporters like us?
Can you repeat your first question?
My first question related to U.S. rail, meaning I understand that we had certain delays in terms of approvals, part approvals for the this thing. So could you possibly illustrate where we are and how do we see the ramp up of the U.S. railroad?
Yeah. As far as the approvals are concerned, we have all the approvals in place to start the ramp up. There are certain initial hiccups happening, which is so that's the reason the serial supplies haven't really started, which we expect to start from Q3 onwards. So these are some issues with our customers, their external issues. So as far as we are concerned, we are ready, and things should start from Q3 onwards. And we've been also hearing that the U.S. has put additional duties on Chinese products, similar to ours. And we see some significant opportunities coming forward. We are not seeing it. This happened only 2 weeks ago. But going forward, we are seeing this. There will be a lot of opportunities coming for us.
So what will be the duty structure today and from India versus China and like to like possibly what could be the benefit in your opinion?
We don't have exact numbers because in the import duties in the US is little complex. It varies from part to part. But I can say the differential in duties will be now between India and China will be close to 30-35%.
Understood, sir. Understood. Thank you so much. And just one last question on the GET. We've been anticipating that will be the next phase of growth. Could you talk a little more on that in terms of which areas could it be, and by when do we really see some positivity coming through?
We've been talking to some big companies for this for these products, and substantial headway is also made. We are waiting for some indications from them, but the opportunities are large, and over time we want these ground engaging tools to be at least 7-8% of our sales, which is now insignificant number of just 1%.
The person you are speaking with has put your call on hold. Please stay on the...
The participant got disconnected. The next question is from the line of Sahil Sanghvi from Monarch Network Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you again for the opportunity. So while you have been guiding on the margins that it's the 25-26% is a sustainable range, I just want to try and understand that what could bring us down. I mean, what could be those factors which can bring us down from the current levels to 25-26%? Also, keeping in mind that we are still at around less than 50% utilization, so there'll be some operational efficiencies also that will come in. So if you can just help me with what are those factors that could bring us down on margins.
As we increase revenues and increase output, they may not be having the same EBITDA margins. No? So if you do another 10,000 ton with let's assume we have 25% EBITDA.
Right.
If you average this out, 29 and 25, you will end up somewhere, at 25-26%. So that's how it works.
Okay. So are you saying that probably the incremental orders will come at a lower price or will the cost be higher?
It's not coming at price. See, this extra EBITDA margins have come up from, you know, different. It's a combination of 7-8 factors. Now,
right.
It won't be prudent to believe that all these 7-8 factors will keep happening every year.
Right. Got it, sir.
So when you see on an average basis over a longer term, so this has to drop to maybe, that's why I'm giving an indication 25-26%.
Got it. And my second question would be, you have answered on ground engaging rules, but last September when we met, you had two other projects under consideration, one on track systems for excavators and the heavyweight steel foundry. So any developments on those fronts, any trial?
No, there are no developments on those two fronts. I think this uncertainties in the global scenario is making things a little slower down. But we have been talking, and probably people are taking their own time to respond, you know. So what has been identified is right for our company. The question is, when does it materialize this? So the efforts are on. Let's see over next one or two quarters.
Sure, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshil Solanki from Equitree Capital Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up. So I had the question on capacity utilization only. So right now it's at 40% and we expect that maybe the margins can drop. So are we willing to take any orders at lower margins and increase our capacity utilization, because anyways going forward we expect it to drop. So any other alternatives at a lower margin but higher utilizations, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'll answer that. Our focus is not to increase utilization at the cost of margins. So if we do that, we'll fill the capacity in the next few months. But that is not what we intend doing it. So see, the drop in margins, as I said, is because of the, one may not get 28-29% on a sustainable basis. So if you average things out, it'll be about 25-26%.
Understood. And just one last small question. Our power cost per ton has increased quarter on quarter basis. So what was the reason behind this? Because we have taken so many actions to reduce our power cost. But if I see the numbers, it has increased on a quarter-on-quarter basis, per ton basis I am looking at. So any reason for that?
I think our power cost has gone down. Where do you see increasing happening?
The absolute term is 7.68 crore has gone up to 9.56 crores. And if you look at per ton, because it's a variable cost, that has also gone up.
We haven't seen this on a per ton basis, but if you see with respect to sales,
sales would not be the right figure, because
with respect to sales, our power, fuel and water was 9.63%, and the previous quarter 12 Q3 was 8.45. Now the power has actually gone down, but there is increase in the cost of natural gas. So these are all clubbed together.
Okay, so per unit cost has gone up of the...
So it's power, fuel and water are all clubbed together, and that's why you see an increase. But if you split power, it has gone down, the natural gas has gone up, and net effect is increased.
Okay, understood. directionally our net power cost is lower.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, understood.
All right, thank you. On behalf of Steelcast and myself, thanks a lot for taking time out and joining this conference call. And I also want to thank Orient Capital for facilitating this call and helping us support all the investors. So thank you again, and we look forward to connecting again in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Steelcast Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.